Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Ultra Nerd Podcast. Now, today I'm not going to be doing the Halloween special because something did come up in terms of in the cinema, and I do want to try to cover it as best as I can. So, I will. This is the only episode I'm going to do that's not going to be related to Halloween, but the other few that I am going to do, it is going to relate to Halloween. So, let's get started with something I do want to start off with first. If you guys can, you're actually helping me if you're listening to your videos, because normally I get paid through Anchor right now. And for every time you listen to each of the sponsors, you're actually helping me out quite a lot. So if you're helping me and you listen to a couple of my videos or podcasts, you're actually helping me pay for some of the stuff I need to pay for, like books, the bills, the simple food on the plate and keeping the roof over my head and etc. And really, you're actually helping me out a lot. And maybe in the future, you could also help me try to get more different types of equipment to try to make the podcast a full-fledged one besides just using my headset and a phone. But besides just that, let's get into something that I do want to talk about. So, over literally one day ago, the Monster Hunter trailer or teaser trailer has been officially announced and shown. Now, due to COVID, the movie wasn't supposed to be here until the 2021. But instead, from what I saw on a post on Twitter from IGN, it's now back on, and the release date is going to be somewhere in December of this year. And when I first saw the teaser trailer, I'm like thinking to myself, oh my God, this doesn't look like it has anything to do with Monster Hunter. And it's another really good Capcom game that really got the short shaft of actual good movies. Because when it comes to a video game movie, I've always thought this out to be a very true statement. Whereas you have movies like Doom, or, no, not Doom, like Mario Brothers, or like Doom, or even Resident Evil, and they got the short end of the staff. And for Doom and Mario Brothers, it should have been really simple. But for some movies like Resident Evil or now Monster Hunter, I would always argue it would be difficult trying to shove down so much information at a few seconds for over like what, a hour and a half or 2 hours movie. And really, when I first saw and heard that the director is going to be the same one who did the Resident Evil movie, and it will have the same main character, like the same character who was like the all-star of the Resident Evil movies. Like, she had psychic power, she had the ability to literally stop time at a slow motion pace every damn second. But not only that, the movie really didn't feel like it was a Monster Hunter movie to me, because it did have some sites in the movie trailer that it looked like it was a part of Monster Hunter, but for some reason it had like military tanks, it had like a few military guys, and it had like a military's machine there with the Gat. I can't remember what it's called, but it had the Gatling gun on top. And the only monster we saw from the trailer was a Black Diablos. And I just want to say this out for a second. The shot I felt was really bad, and you can't tell if it was a Black Diablos, in my opinion, even though it told you straight off. But I really feel as if the movie itself is going to be a sad flop. But let's take another movie, for example. Let's take Doom. Now, Doom, it was an generally a amazing game back in the day. All you had to do was literally run around, shoot demons, kick ass, and take names, and that's all you had to do. And that game was awesome, and it had a really big cult following too. Now, for some other movie, but the movie itself, it was an utter total failure. And yet it had a very simple idea of like, it's you're in hell, or like you're on Mars, and hell has invaded Mars, and you yourself have to kick kick ass and take names. And yeah, they decided to be like, oh, these aliens, they were humans, but they were introduced to a separate gene that turned them into monsters. Like, what? Why that out of all concepts? Why not just stick to the original source? And Mario is another sad example. It was a simple idea, like you had to jump through the levels and save Princess Peach. But instead, they just ruined the entire idea of the Mario games. Now, for other movies, however, they got a small cult following, like the recent Sonic movie. The Sonic movie actually turned out really good, I heard. And ironically, it was supposed to be released in 2019. But here's the thing. The movie's character design for Sonic, it was so bad that they literally had to postpone the movie just so they could redo the Sonic animated character in the movie. And just a quick thing on this topic. The movie actually had a couple of redesigns. Like, it was the first poster, and obviously that looked ugly as hell. There was another poster with, like, the main character with Sonic above him. And that Sonic looked all right. It was just a little bit more, I'm going to say, cartoony than the original. There was also, like, another poster with the first Sonic design in the movie, and that was horrid as hell. And then they came down to the one that they officially released, which looked a lot better than the original. Oh my gosh. Now, if they decided to release that movie with that design, the movie would have been an absolute flop. But besides just that, let's get back to the original topic. And another movie I do want to point out, though, that I felt was a really good one was the Pikachu Detective movie. Now, one time when I took a sibling of mine to go see it for an early birthday present, I generally liked it. I thought the concept was all right. I thought the idea was really good. And I thought the characters were pretty interesting. And not only that, or the only downside I felt like the movie was, or did have, was the utter nightmarish faces that was each and every one of the Pokemon. Some of them were all right, some of them were not. But the primary one that I felt like shouldn't have been in the movie but did anyway was Ditto. Holy smokes, that Ditto character, oh my gosh. But really, when you look at other movies though, like Resident Evil or the now hopefully coming to be better Monster Hunter movie, they get the short end of the staff. And I felt like the Resident Evil movies were a big example because the first one, it tried to be scary and it tried to live up to the source material, but it really didn't in the long run. And I remember seeing the second to final episode or segment of the Resident Evil movie, and I'm, like, thinking to myself, like, this feels very inconsistent with some of the characters and some of the ideas that they have. Because at one point, the Leon of the group was, like, the last Plagueis virus. I'm, like, thinking to myself, when? When was that the last Plagueis of the virus? Wasn't this outbreak started from, like, the Red Queen in the first place, and the virus, like the T-Virus, I think it was called, if I'm mistaken or correct. The T-Virus, and then everyone got infected, and everyone started biting one another. And when I was thinking to myself, like, that feels so inconsistent, because at another point, at a few shots of the movie, they don't have, like, they show, like, no more zombies, right? They show, like, the normal zombies, but they also show, like, the zombies you would see in the video games, like the Executioner or the Lickers or Tyrants. But for some shots, it feels very inconsistent. Like, you would think to yourself, okay, how the hell were they able to do that now? Because one example was with some of the zombies able to have these proboscis appear throughout their mouths. And I remember from the fifth game, which I sadly haven't played, I only played the fourth one, I'm sorry, but I remember seeing some videos of the fifth game, and basically, those types of Las Plagas, they were able to protrude from the infected host's mouth to try to kill or devour others. Now, I don't know how and I don't know why, but this idea came out twice. And I believe it was the fourth and the fifth installment. I don't know why, and it feels very inconsistent because if that means it was a part, the Las Plagas were a part of the T virus to begin with, and it feels very inconsistent. And that's an example. That's like an example that some parts of the movie could be very inconsistent. And when I first saw the trailer for the final episode, I'm like thinking to myself, like, holy smokes, if the others didn't make you want to die from going, ah, this one will finish the job. And I haven't seen it, thank God. But it, to me, it does, the movies don't look good, and it doesn't stick up to the source material. Whereas for some movies, like I previously mentioned, Sonic or Pikachu and Pokemon, those kind of live up to the source material because they try to keep the original ideas there. They try to keep the ideas in the style. Sonic, maybe. Pokemon, yes. But it really didn't work out so good. And I don't know about others. Like, for example, Super Street Fighter or Street Fighter, and there was also Mortal Kombat. When I first saw the Mortal Kombat one, like some clips of it, that looked generally somewhat there and somewhat consistent with the source material. I don't know about the Street Fighter one, though, on the other hand. But all I do know is I gotta take a break for this sponsor. And we're back. But anyway, even though that some video game movies do have it out for others, they're entirely not all great. Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. It's depending really who's behind the wheel of directing. Now, some people, they may not be all in favor for what they have. Like, for example, if I was a part of the Halo movie, and if I liked Halo for since I was like 5 years old, I've been playing it for when I was that young. And if people were like, oh yeah, but instead of doing this in the game, we're gonna do this instead, and it's gonna completely ruin the entire movie instead of people liking it. And I'm like thinking to myself, but wait, we can't do that, and I can't read this script. And the guy behind the movie will be like, oh yeah, you have to because you signed a contract. Now, that's another big example. That is a big example. Now, even though if some people are in heart in favor to a video game like Doom, and even though they don't, may not agree with like the script or they may not agree with the idea of the movie, they still have to do it where they are in contract to it. Now, another example I want to point out that kind of, I want to say, connects to the whole genre of video game movies is live action anime movies. Now, this is a doozy, folks, because you get some that actually do consist with the source material of the anime or manga, and you get those that don't. It really just depends, again, who's behind the wheel that is directing. And not only that, let's take, for example, Dragon Ball Evolution or Dragon Ball Super or whatever it's called. I remember seeing some clips of here and there of that movie, and by God, I was a foolish kid because I never saw it when I was a kid. But when I first saw the trailer, I'm like thinking to myself, holy smokes, I want to go see that. But in reality, it was a utter flop. Now, like I previously said in the beginning of the podcast, even though that there's so much lore to something and so much story and so much ideas behind it, it is kind of hard to try to shove so much information into a hour and a half or 2 hour and a half kind of movie. And even though it could be really simple, like let's bring up the idea for Monster Hunter again, right? Okay, so instead of having this idea where like the military is involved, why not just make out as a first a lush green village in the woods, right? And the main character, who's the main character or whatever her name was in the movie, is going to be, have her like a little kid, and have the idea that Zero Magnaros awakened in Monster Hunter World, right? And have him destroy the village. And she was the only survivor. And now she's on a quest to stop and destroy Zero Magnaros. And she's going to have difficulties getting through a ton of trials and a ton of tests and so on, and have her own struggles between fighting a monster and the grief of over her entire village. That would be worth watching. That would be actually worth watching because it's paying homage to both the monsters and the story in general. Because it's not always how some people see it. Monster Hunter is not always about the monsters. It's about the story. It's about the world. It's about the lore. But the way how the movie directors see it, it is about the monsters. So they're going to say, "Oh, look, see that? That's Black Diablos." Or, "Hey, see that monster? That's a Chameleon Man," or whatever his name was. Something like that. And it same goes for anime movie. They may not align well to one another with the idea of source material or so on and so forth. So again, before I stop to talk about the Monster Hunter movie again, let's continue with the Dragon Ball one. So the idea was that it still had the same idea with Goku, but the overall idea and the way how they played out didn't work out so much because there's like so many different plot holes. There's so many things that are very inconsistent. It's not even funny. Like, what was that woman's name who was basically fighting for Piccolo in the entire movie? The answer is, I don't know, because they never gave us her name. Or, like, why was he able to do that, but he wasn't able to do that in the beginning, or so on and so forth? Or, like, why does every movie have to be in a school theme genre? Why? And really, that also consists who with a lot of things because it if you're not going to make something that's based off the source material, you're not really being very much, I want to say, polite or paying homage to the original series to make the fans happy. And now, granted, I did want to see these, but I haven't saw them. I really wanted to see both for what's it called? Alita Battle Angel and well, no, not Alita Battle Angel, but I really wanted to see Ghost in the Shell. But unfortunately, I heard Ghost in the Shell was awful, and I didn't even need to see it, but I just heard that. Well, no, I did saw that Alita Battle Angel was terrible because of the trailer. Because why would you give your character a CGI face if you're going to make her BCG with like the stunts and whatnot to begin with? Like she has like these big heads. She has like this big head with big anime eyes, and that feels so weird to put on a human being in real life. And really, I do feel as if it is stupid. But when I saw some of the trailer clips for Ghost in the Shell, I felt like it really, besides the fact that I heard it did turn out terrible, I saw that it kind of paid homage to the original source material with like its casting, its characters, the way how the story is presented. And not only that, like I just want to say this out full flat, the main character who played I'm sorry, I'm not that fond of Ghost in the Shell, but I just was really interested in seeing it. The one female character in Ghost in the Shell in the anime looks really similar to the one how she was played with her actress. And that's saying something. But when you take an idea from an anime and try to make it onto a movie, it is going to be hard because it didn't really or would turn out so good as you may think. Now, I just want to be blunt with you. This is going to sound very heresy, and it is. You're going to say, that's blasphemy, and it is. Are you ready to hear it? I thought the Death Note on Netflix was all right. Now, granted, some of you may not agree, but I felt it did turn out all right. It did change up the idea, but it did give out something interesting that some people may not think outside the box with Death Note. And that's the power of the Death Note itself can consume anyone. Now, the original idea for Death Note in general was like the main character, Light, was going to be a overall power-hungry sociopath with the Death Note. And he was able to like literally write down someone's names and kill him here, kill him there, kill him everywhere. And they eventually started giving him the name Kira. And in the movie, they did do that, but it basically was like, I want to say, a cult following, where everyone basically gave them his name, the people they want dead's name, and showed them their faces. And really, it was like a really big thing for them, because it was like something that the police weren't able to do, and something that a lot of people could benefit from being like, oh, can you get rid of this guy, please, because he is a terrible person. But really, when you have the power of the Death Note, it could really consume you. One idea is with, I can't remember her name, but it was like the Light's girlfriend, basically. And the demon that Light could see was like, I like her. And the way how they presented him in the movie, I honestly really liked it, because he was just basically all in shadow through the entirety of the movie. Now, to be fair, I just want to say this out flat, where I feel like you can't really know what he looks like. Now, to be fair, he's a demon. The way how he's presented in Death Note and the anime and the movie, that may not be his original look of his true self. He's a demon, so he may look like this giant abominable creature, and I felt like it was a really good idea to do that. It just brings a little bit more mysteries. But later on in the movie, I remember that eventually the girl stole a piece of the Death Note and started writing people's names down in it, and eventually she wrote Light's name in it. And she eventually got taken over by the power of the Death Note. And L in the movie, I felt L's actor was really good, because it did portray him for being like a very calm, but yet it also showed that he does have to do his job, that is solving mysteries and murderer in the case that Light needs to be punished for what he did. And I remember that he had like a servant in the movie, but he was sadly gunned down by a squad of policemen. And I remember what happened was that at the end, the demon in the movie said something that can be true if you have the power of the Death Note in your hand. And that is, you humans are really interesting. Because at the end, it just fades to black. We see that L has a piece of the Death Note. And he was the only one that knew. We don't know if L did write down Light's name in that piece. We don't know if he did or didn't. We didn't know if he hesitated or if L may die. I mean, Light may die. I'm sorry, folks. But I felt like that was a really good interpretation of Death Note in general, because it did stick to the source material and it did change some stuff up. Some stuff that may people may not agree with, and some stuff that may people will agree with. But that's a good example of some movies, much like Pokemon or Sonic, being a good movie. And really, it is all about the director, and mostly it is how you would interpret it on paper and on the big screen. Now, before I end the podcast, I just want to say thank you all for those who are listening. Please follow me on Twitter for a little bit of updates for the podcast. The at is at supernerd163. And I would also like to thank my sponsors for today, Anchor, for helping me out with this video. So if you have anyone who is interested in the stuff I talk about, please send them on. I would make sure I would try to post every episode every Sunday. And for in this case, for the Halloween episodes, both Saturdays and Sundays. So please stay tuned. And remember, y'all, geek is fleek.